April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Thank you. Yes, I'm still in.
Awesome.
Be sure to send in your registration and deposits, y'all, because I need to get another check to the place. And everybody who's sent in registration hasn't sent in deposit. So Madison sent me an email about that while I was in Peru.
So, thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, y'all don't have to pay in full right now, but the deposit helps because I got to pay the retreat space another deposit. But they're going to do the same thing as last time, whatever food allergies or requests that, you know, as far as that. Y'all know how good the food was if you were there last time. So they'll take care of everybody. But definitely get those deposits in. Thanks for mentioning it, Erin.
Oh, yeah. You guys, it's so much fun. I'm so excited. I mean, I really can't wait. There's nothing like diving in deep with everybody and just having that. There's something about having that physical connection too and getting to connect and do deep medicine work with everyone. It really is. There's just nothing like it. So if you can make it, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and not to freak everybody out, but I don't know if we're going to have one in the fall. So if you're coming, come now. So
I was going to ask when the next one was going to be offered.
Well, it's supposed to be in September, but I'm going to be straight up with y'all because I'm always straight up. The numbers are going down each time we do it. Oh. And you know, this retreat space is private, and it's also a little bit more than the others because it's private. And you know, this isn't about me making a ton of money. I never make a ton of money off this, but I need to cover expenses.
Right.
So we need, you know, everybody's like, yeah, retreat, retreat. And then if you don't come, I still got to pay the retreat center. So, yeah, so this is the time to do it. Plus I'm thinking we might need to open them up in the future more publicly because, you know, if the mentorship group can't fill them, then I need to open them publicly, which I would really rather not do. What I like, I think what Erin is referring to, really the energy of it is because it's just us. Yeah. And we're all on the same page. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and say welcome to our session. And Madison, keep in the peace about me talking about the retreat. And so we'll just get going here. But Erin, you can leave everybody. It's okay if everybody's muted right now. But we can do that in a second. But yeah, the retreats are special because we are all on the same page. And I don't have to explain how to shamanic journey. Or I don't have to back up for anybody who hasn't been sitting with us. And that's what I feel like makes these so potent. So hopefully we can do it again in September for sure, but I'm going to be talking to you all about plant dieta tonight as well. And I'm excited to chat a little bit about that. So Erin disappeared. where'd you go, Erin? Who's on 501-240?
Jan.
Hey Jan.
Hi Jan.
Hey.
Erin disappeared. Okay. Well, I guess when Erin gets back, she can mute everybody. Erin, I'm trying to talk to you and you disappeared.
I had to pee really bad and I didn't want to interrupt you, so okay.
Why don't you just take the computer with you? I did that one time. You know what's funny? I was with the advanced group last year. This is a true story. We were doing a Zoom call. And they're all chatting and I really had to pee. So I just turned off my video so that I could still hear. I just had the laptop like, I just brought it close to the bathroom, like in the bathroom, set it over to the side so I could still hear everything. Turns out I had not turned off my video. So glad I turned the computer away from me just in case, because that was too much information for me. Like, that was just a small group of all women, all advanced students. I don't know if you know that.
Oh my goodness.
I actually took y'all to the bathroom and did not turn off the video, but you were in that group.
Oh my God. Hey, real quick, who's the 501-240-8869?
That's Jan.
That's Jan.
Jan. Oh, okay.
Well, hey everybody. It's good to see. I'm looking around. Bridget, you're all like it's freezing. You got your little hat on. Hey Gail.
Hey, hi, Trudy. Blue.
Hi. Hey Trudy. I'm glad you're coming to Atlanta, Tobacco and Cacao, Trudy. I just wrote that down.
Yes.
Yeah, Atlanta's going to be rocking, man. If y'all have friends in Atlanta, we're doing a tobacco ceremony on Saturday, cacao ceremony on Sunday. First time offering tobacco ceremony to people I've never even met in my life. But if people want to stick stuff up their nose, I'm just deciding to you know, I just decided to start opening that up a little bit more because people seem to want to jump in. I'm trying to be a little bit more open about that in places where I don't know everybody. But hopefully, you know, Sometimes I think people don't know what they've signed up for, you know, then they figure it out real quick. But everybody, y'all did it at the retreat. We're going to do it again at this retreat. And I really, Anne, I want to put a bug in your ear. I know you're there with your kitty. Where's the kitty butt? That's how I find Anne. Usually that's where I know where Anne is, because there's a kitty butt in the frame. There it is. There she is. Yeah. Kitty butt. There's a kitty. Anyway. But I don't know how many drums you have, and I don't want to make you work, but I really have a vision for, you're coming to retreat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I have this vision when we have our fire on Saturday night in Racinga. I really want us to be drumming, and I want to put, like, you know,
oh, yeah.
Do the tribal marking, and, like, I want to get Buck Wild minus the buck, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think this retreat's going to be good. For everybody.
I got a tom-tom.
Going to be awesome. You know, and like I said, I know some of you need to work with like payment plans. So if that's something you really have to do, let me know. That means I'm going to pay for you up front though. So if you don't have to do it, don't do it. But you know, I don't want that to be an issue if you need to figure out a payment plan. So just talk to us. But I'm really glad you're here. It's March 6th, 2019. Again, Madison, keep all of that in here. And I want to say hi to all the people who are going to watch this on the recording, because I know a lot of people are going to be watching on the recording, and some people who can't always make it to the live sessions. So we'll just keep everybody. I don't think we need to mute anybody. You can mute yourself if you want. I feel like if it gets too loud, Aaron, then you can start muting people. Okay. But I feel like we can kind of chat tonight. If you can't already tell, I'm a little stopped up and I've been coughing for like 4 days. And I was trying to hum to myself in the airport, and certain like about this much of my vocal range just is gone. I can't make the noise. So I'm not going to be able to sing tonight, unfortunately. I think it's actually not unfortunate. I think it's fortunate. I think what's happening is that the spirits don't want me to sing yet. I need a little bit more percolation time. I'm still on dieta, technically speaking. So it's probably good that I can't sing. Otherwise, I would be expending that energy. And I was really disappointed, but then I realized that the plant spirits want me to keep percolating this before I start singing. I probably won't be singing this weekend for the advanced training, because the advanced students are going to be, they practice leading, so they'll be doing all that. And then tobacco ceremony on Sunday, it's small and it's mostly students. So Aaron and Heather and some other people, I'm going to have them. That's the whole point of the advanced piece, is to really step up and be able to do a little bit more of the leading. Not necessarily to become ceremonialists if they don't want to, but Aaron and other people in the group can testify that when you step up in leadership within a ceremonial space, it activates and amplifies all the rest of your life. Doesn't matter what you do in the rest of your world. So I think I'm going to have them singing this weekend, and I'm going to just keep holding this close and percolating, which is not necessarily how I like to do things. I love to just, I get so excited, and then I want to go share, and the spirits are saying, hold it close, let it keep integrating and deepening within me. So I think Atlanta will be the first time I'll be singing in ceremony. So if you want to be at my first concert after Dieta, but Atlanta's the place to be. That's where the tour will kick off, is in Atlanta. It's fun to have some of y'all's mics on, because I can actually hear you laugh at my jokes. Normally everybody's muted, and I think I'm funny, but I can't hear anybody laugh. I just have to assume,
you're hilarious.
To assume that somebody's appreciating somebody's head. I have no idea if y'all think I'm funny. You might think I'm funny. But one thing that's funny to me, and part of the reason I have no doubt, part of the reason I'm sick, besides the fact this is a huge detox, I'm detoxing some major grief has been coughed out. It's awesome. And I'm not feeling grief. That's the beauty of doing all the work when not in dieta or ceremony, doing the work in between the ceremonies, is I've done so much prep work that I'm like, whatever, let's cough it up, spit it out, move along. Like, it's not stressing me out at all. But when I was on the dieta, when I came out of the dieta, I found out the maestro, this is pretty funny, because they're speaking in kind of Spanish or Spanish English. And the maestro is from England, actually, but he'll do this Spanglish thing where he'll start speaking to me in English, but he'll finish the conversation. You know, he'll kind of go in and out of Spanish because he's used to speaking Spanish down there. So he said his wife's name is Nori. Whoever's got the dog, you might want to mute your your thing. But his wife's name is Nori, and he said, oh, Nori can't go with us to the waterfall. She has El Grippo. I was like, what has gripped her? El Grippo, who is he? Like, we need to save her. I had no idea what he was talking about. And then I found out that the man who brought me food on Sunday, the next day, he has never called in a day of sick in his life, and he had El Grippo. I'm like, there's that El Grippo again. And then I go to stay with my friend after Dieta in Tarapoto before I head to Cusco, and guess who El Grippo has visited? My friend. El Grippo is the flu.
Oh.
So everybody had the flu, and they're all around me. I'm all clean and clear from Dieta, but I get to Cusco. I'm still well. I'm good. I was like, El Grippo, you will not find me here. Well, something found me. El Grippo's cousin, head and chest cold, found me. Everybody in Cusco is sick. It's the rain, y'all. My jokes. Somebody's gonna have to mute you.
You're the best.
In Cusco, it's the rainy season, so everybody's blowing their nose and sick, and so I think it was just a matter of time, plus it's a great detox, so traveling yesterday was hell. My ears were not popping, and you know the pain of that, and I was just like, I felt like a zombie, but I slept for about 12 hours, so I'm definitely feeling better. But El Grippo strikes again. I don't know if that's funny, El Grippo. So anyway, I want to tell you all a little bit about the Dieta, and I want to tell you some of my experiences because you shared some of yours, and just kind of just give you an overview of what I did and what it's about. And I encourage you to sign up for the newsletter if you want to get details on how to come with me and do this, because I talked to the maestro and he said, sure, bring people down. And I said, well, I really like to bring students. I said, I don't want to be a tour guide taking people to Peru for ceremonies. I want to bring a community, a small group of people, you know, and he likes that idea, because when the people all know each other, it's very different. You know, it's a different experience when the people know each other, instead of everybody just shows up and meets each other there and doesn't know who each other are. And his name is Chris O'Dell. He's from London. He's been training, well, he was a psychic. Well, he don't stop being psychic, I guess, but for 20 years or so, that was what he was doing. And had a psychic business, like where people would call in and stuff, like numerous psychics, kind of like a hotline or something. I'm not quite sure. And did very well with that, but decided he actually said to me, people who are psychic sometimes think they're spiritual just because they're psychic. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh. That's interesting. Okay, you know. So he's been doing this work probably for 40 years, but he's trained with ayahuasqueros. He's trained with vegetalistas. A vegetalista is a bit different. They are curanderos. Curanderas, they're healers with plants, but they don't necessarily work with ayahuasca. So it's a little bit different, but it's also a little different than being an herbalista, an herbalist. It's very similar to being an herbalist, but it extends into plant dietas as well, which most herbalists don't do. Most herbalists are like we have here in the West and are working with plants to help people heal as medicine, but not necessarily doing plant diets. Vegetalistas, from what I understand, can often utilize plant diets as part of their medicinal healing with plants. So he's very indigenously trained, and very experienced and very good. I've not sat with ayahuasca for 9 years, and I didn't sit because I didn't want to sit with anyone who was anything less than a fully trained maestro, and I wanted to sit in Peru. I didn't want to sit in the States anymore. For anybody who sat in the States, you know, it's not legal here. So, I'm going to just backtrack and say, for any big brother that watches this, just kidding, I never sat in the States, right? So, this is why we don't talk about it. Don't message me about it on Facebook. We don't talk about it on there. Email me and say grandmother, you know. But I really wanted to sit with somebody who really knew their stuff and was fully trained, because I'd been sitting with people that are really facilitators. And the biggest difference in a facilitator, in my opinion, in a true ayahuasquero or fully trained maestro, besides the fact a ton of training, is that it's not just about sitting with ayahuasca. It's about tree diets. And these ayahuascaeros, these maestros and maestras, when they have the tree diets, then they have the strength to carry the medicine of the ayahuasca plant, because that's how ayahuasca grows. And for, I know some of you have seen ayahuasca and you've probably been to Peru perhaps and sat with the mother vine, but they need a tree to grow. They need something to wrap themselves up, because it's a vine. And so she needs something to wrap herself around in order to grow. So that's why the tree diets are so incredibly important as part of this lineage, as part of this training. So someone can sit with ayahuasca 1,000 times and still not have any tree diets. And it doesn't mean they can't lead an ayahuasca ceremony. They might even be pretty decent at it. Or they might be what my friend calls ayahuasca light, you know? And that's totally fine. You can do that, but it's not based in the lineage practice, the traditional practice. And having only sat with those kind of people to sit, well, that's not true. I sat with Maestro Hamilton, but that was in a cannabis ceremony, so different medicine. But to sit with the fully trained maestro in that space, and some of the people here can attest, is different. You know, they really know how to hold the container. And I personally feel that Chris is just beyond as far as integrity and his ability to navigate the medicine and navigate your experience within that container. And when, and they grow the ayahuasca and the chacruna, which are the blend that make the brew, on the land. I'm telling you about the ayahuasca piece just because it's part of it, but it's not the point. You do not have to go down there and drink ayahuasca. I generally, if you sign up and just go when they have their monthly plant dieta, you do your plant diet with whatever tree or plant you're working with, and you have 3 ayahuasca ceremonies. But it's not necessary. And that's not what I did, because it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to sit with ayahuasca once, so that's what I did. That's what I like about him too, is that he does not push the ayahuasca thing. He's a plant man. He's a plant medicine man. It's not about sitting in ayahuasca ceremony. It's about connecting with the plants and working with them as medicine. So he is totally open to doing plant diets for people that don't sit with ayahuasca, which I think is equally potent. The ayahuasca ceremony was great. I got to have a new relationship with her. I got to experience what that's like with someone who really knows how to hold the space. I could visually see the container he had created as soon as the medicine started to kick in. I saw it. I had a great purge. You always tend to purge. Generally, you vomit. I was like, "Ooh, here comes the purge." I mean, I say I had a great purge. It sucks. Who likes to be on their hands and knees throwing up into a bucket? But you know, then you know the purge is happening, and ultimately, that's a good thing. And then it was absolutely amazing. It's the first time I've had very traditional ayahuasca visuals. Like people paint about and all that kind of stuff, because the other people just couldn't hold the container. And in all fairness, it wasn't just them. I didn't feel comfortable. There were probably 25 people every time I was in ceremony, and I maybe knew 3 of them. So it's very different being down there without tons of other people bringing all their stuff. And Chris only allows, I think his max for an ayahuasca retreat would be 8. And they have a beautiful guest house for that. And then, and that's a separate maloka. The maloka is a ceremonial space. They have a completely separate maloka and guest house for people, for groups that just come for ayahuasca retreats. The plant dieta area is totally separate from that, because when you're in plant dieta, you're not around people. And there's a smaller maloka ceremony space there that's only used for people who are on plant dieta. That's how sacred and clear and held the containers are, which I also really appreciate. So I was down, you walk across, Tarapoto is this kind of jungle town that's very hot because it's a jungle town, but it's not too overrun, it's pretty chill. And then you drive up maybe 10 minutes, if that, up into the cloud forest, which is probably close to maybe 1,500 feet, 2,000 feet, kind of similar to where I live here in Black Mountain. So you're not super high up like Cusco, and you don't have to navigate 11,000 feet trying to breathe or anything like that. The cloud forest is also much cooler than town. So I actually had to wear sleeves, you know, light sleeves at night. So it's not unbearable heat at all. It was really, really beautiful once you get up there into the cloud forest, onto their property. They have about 70 acres, which is backed up with national park that just goes and goes because there's all these waterfalls and stuff that are have been saved and preserved. Thank goodness the government's doing that so far. So it's super private. And once you get there, you go across this bridge that's over the river because the river runs through their land, which is really neat. It's beautiful to hear at night. Then you get onto this property and you make a left. I'm telling you as if I'm there. I'm visualizing it for you. And you walk to the left and go down to the small tambos. Your tambo, which I constantly call a tombo. I don't know why. But your tambo is just a little wooden hut with screens that has a single bed, which is actually pretty comfy, a little table and chair so you can journal or whatever and you can eat there, and then just small little shelves to put your stuff. And it's also got a hammock that's inside that swings from one corner to the other that goes over your bed and stuff, and you can just chill in the hammock. It's really nice. And that's your tambo for the plant diet. There are three of those that are kind of ish close together, except there's jungle in between. So you know there's a tambo there, but you can't really see. You couldn't see the person. And then down beyond the Maloka, there's two more. One that holds two people, if you don't really don't want to be by yourself, and then another private one. So four private ones and one that holds two people, which is why you only have six people there tops. And that would include me. So anybody who wants to go, there'll only be five other people besides me. And, you know, you five people and myself. So that's what I'm excited about. Having this small personalized group is really, it makes a huge difference in getting that time with the maestro. So I was in, I can't remember the name of it, not agave, awahe, I think was the name of my, my little tambo. And you really do hang out by yourself. But before I went down there, I did a cacao dieta to deepen my relationship with cacao medicine. So I worked with the bark of the cacao tree. And this is how most plant dietas work. If they're tree diets, you're working with the bark. And, you know, he blows mapacho onto the tree and we make prayers and we commune with the tree. And then take just a piece of the bark so that it doesn't harm the tree. Puts it in water, lets it soak in the sunshine. That's how it worked with the cacao bark. It can be different with other barks. And then at about 5 o'clock that night, I took my first cup of, you know, the cacao bark tea. And I did that for 4 days at 5 o'clock in the evening. That was my dinner, basically. But it was really neat to commune. They have the cacao trees on their land. Most of the medicine trees and plants that they work with grow on the land, including, as I said, the ayahuasca and the chacruna. So that makes it really special. You're not just communing with the tree, you're communing with the tree from that land. And it got me so linked in with the land immediately. It was incredible, the energy that it brought in that linked me with that land, because that tree's been growing there for years. And there were all these ants climbing all over the tree. And it just felt like the sweetness was calling everything to it. And they happened to, I got to be there by myself, which was really special. And so one of the gentlemen who works there on the land took a couple cacao pods. And while I was in dieta, they were preparing it and making it into cacao for me to bring home. So I should have pulled it out of this big round ball of cacao that I got to bring home with me. So we'll sprinkle that into some upcoming ceremonies and mojo it up. Oh, I should bring that to the retreat. That's what I should do. Bring it to the, now see, now you got to really sign up. If you want some of that, you got to, but I'll bring it to the retreat. That'll be really neat though. We can put that, mix some of that into the cacao, but it's neat that from the same tree that I did the dieta, I got this cacao that they, you know, made from the seeds. I got to, they let me eat one little seed from the cacao pod. Cause y'all know how I get. If I eat like, I'll eat like five and then I'm bouncing all over. So they let me eat one and they took the rest of them and made cacao for me while I was on dieta. So that was really neat. And, it's different with every diet, but with this one, I drank for 4 days. And I know I told you all I was going to be in ceremony on Sunday night. Remember the 24th, the day after my birthday? Everybody remember that? So I just as a, let me put on my glasses, just a head shake. Like how many people could feel the medicine on Sunday night? If you could feel it, you could feel it. Okay. Well, here's the funny thing. This is just a reminder that nothing is linear. So, and I'm going to share with y'all honestly, because y'all know how that's how I roll. I was so good on Wednesday. Well, first of all, all my flights got delayed, so I didn't get to start on Tuesday. I had to start on Wednesday. So whatever you felt on Tuesday, that's awesome. Thanks for getting me started, because I didn't even get there until, I don't even know when, like Tuesday night sometime. I was supposed to be there Monday morning, so we're not even going to talk about that. But Chris Maestro says, the harder it is to get there, the better the dieta. Like whenever stuff like that goes down, it always makes for a better plant dieta. And I was like, rock and roll. And also a reminder that if when you want to do something, you got to want to do it. because everything was lining up for me not to get there. I cannot even tell you how, I mean, it's funny now, but at the time, you can ask Erin, I was probably texting her freaking out. But I was just like, am I ever going to get there? Everything. I even got to my flight that was rescheduled in Lima on Tuesday morning, and they said, this flight doesn't exist. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that was going on. So I wanted to be there because I just kept persevering, and I spent a whole lot of extra money to get my butt there because everything was getting wonky. But Chris said, oh, that makes for a better dieta. So what was I talking about, though? Oh, Saturday was my birthday, remember? Because that's important. No, but so Wednesday, I was like, this is awesome. Thursday, this is awesome. But my sciatica, you know, from where I hurt myself and I had to spend 2 days on planes, it kind of started to kick in. I was like, that's all right. I'm just resting. So Friday, I was in pain. I was like, okay, this kind of sucks, but all right. You know, it's just part of the dieta. I'm clearing things out or clearing out the trauma. You know, Saturday morning, oh, hell no. I was in my stuff. I was so deep in it. I was like, this has ceased to be enjoyable to me. I am so over it. I didn't want to leave, but I kind of wanted to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, and I remember going, oh my God, I have to stay because all these students are totally linked in with me and I can't just leave and I just want to leave. And if I leave, then I'd have to come back and tell y'all, oh, I didn't do it. All my shiz was up. It was perfect. And it was my birthday. It's my freaking birthday. So all, it's like rebirth, Bloom. It ain't comfortable, baby. It's not pretty, but it's your birthday, so we're going to rebirth, right? I'm not even kidding. All my stuff was up. So I go at, and you know, when you're sitting in an ayahuasca ceremony, you're not supposed to eat after like lunch. But I didn't think I was sitting in an ayahuasca ceremony. So at 3 o'clock, I'm having another little snack for my lunch because I didn't eat that much. And I go to sit with him at 5 o'clock to drink my tea, my cacao bark tree, which is not psychotropic. I mean, you literally put bark in water. Bark's not psychotropic, at least not of the cacao tree. Maybe there's some other trees we need to explore with. But so he said, how are you doing? And I just went, well, you know, I could not cry because all my stuff was up. And that's the point. It's supposed to bring this stuff up. That's all I went there for. I'm doing my work, you know. And I'm telling him about the sciatica and it's hurting and my back and I'm just, and then I'm talking about all this stuff I didn't even know was going to come flying out of my mouth. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about when you're just like, bleh, and then bleh, and then my mom and then bleh, and then my dad and then bleh. And I don't even know what I said. It was so funny though, because my maestro was just listening. And he lets me just, you know, verbally vomit all my stuff, which is what he's there to do. He lets you talk about yourself. That's why you check in with them to see what's coming up and where you are in the process. And he said, we were supposed to sit with ayahuasca tomorrow night, right? I said, yeah, that's what we're doing then. And he said, well, everything's up right now. I think we should sit tonight. And I was like, what? And he's like, I'll meet you here at 6:30. And I said, well, I kind of ate around 3, and he goes, oh, okay, I'll meet you here at 7:30. You need at least 3 or 4 hours in between. I went, oh my God, we're doing this. So I sat with grandmother on my birthday, and the next morning he goes, you really pulled a fast one on your students, huh? They think you're sitting tonight. I said, well, I'm setting the intention that they will retroactively receive, and it's so cool to read what everybody received on Sunday night, because I knew I was sitting there in my tambo feeling the mojo going out to people. I felt medicine going out to people who chose to link in and receive it. So you can even retroactively do it now if you weren't able to do that Sunday evening, the 24th. But I got worked on the 23rd on my birthday, and it felt like the day to sit. It felt really appropriate. It was my birthday. I mean, how more appropriate can it be, you know? And so the ayahuasca ceremony was really great, and I happen to be by myself. His wife, Nori, is a helper, so she doesn't drink. She didn't drink for the ceremony because she was helping. So it was really he and I and the medicine, and she was helping. She takes care of your container after you purge and brings you a blanket or whatever you need, takes care of you. And it was really, for me, it was really incredible to be able to have that experience by myself, because I felt completely comfortable. I knew I wouldn't be distracting anybody if I made noises. There's nothing more annoying to me than people in ceremony who are just over the top loud and not aware that they're distracting everybody else. And so that's just my own personal annoyance, and I get to stay on my mat and work with it. But I didn't have to worry about that. And I got to stand up. I got to move around. And it was very specialized. I mean, he was really just focused on what was happening with me in the medicine. And my intention really was to do a lot of healing of trauma in my physical body because of my background, my childhood. You know, I started being, I've told you all, like sexual abuse started in infancy, and then just not sexual abuse, but other abuse continued, which is really what led me to this path. But my physical body was still holding on to so much of it. The body memory is so powerful, and I talked about that with you all before. So that was my intention with her, and it was very obvious that that's what was happening. My body was, my legs at one point were just shaking like this. I mean, I couldn't stop them. And when I would have a moment that I would think I would get scared at what was happening, I'd go, oh, right, I'm healing. And then I would just relax again. And it just, I mean, it was incredible how it kind of started at the top and just moved its way down throughout part of the ceremony. And I just stayed in the love. And it was really, I'm not saying I didn't get worked. I mean, my body definitely got worked, but it was really powerful. And I can honestly say that the piece of it that was so powerful was having the tree diet. The ayahuasca ceremonies are usually powerful for people. But the biggest difference to me is having this tree diet leading into it. So my body was really connected with the land. I was really grounded, and I had been by myself in this contemplative space for 4 days or something. So, and only eating the food that they bring me. So my diet was super prepared, and it really made the ceremony that much better. I still would have gotten a lot out of it if I hadn't done the ceremony, but I feel like the ceremony was able to kind of top off everything that the tree diet had started to open up. And for those of you wondering about food, they bring you, because I know where I'm all about some food. They bring you food in the morning, which is disgusting. I call it, they're going to get a different kind of oatmeal. I call it the no taste paste. That was my name for it. I had all sorts of names for things while I was all by myself, talking to myself. Oh, and I had so many animal friends. I'll tell you about them too. But they bring you this oatmeal, and they don't make oatmeal like we do at all. And it's this wonderful Peruvian man named Freddie who makes the food and brings it to you. And he's super chill. He'll say hi, or if you say hi, but it's his job just to bring you the food and leave you in silence. So I was always saying hi because there was a human there finally. But I didn't get into conversation with him because he's not allowed to do that. And he's got a really chill vibe, and they smoke him, which means they, maestro will blow smoke on him each morning when he gets there before he comes down to the tambos, just to clear his energy, because these people are out in the world having their lives and you're in a very contained energy. And in the morning they bring you this oatmeal that's kind of like this weird sticky white stuff that's really liquidy, and it didn't have any taste, but I mean, it'll keep you alive, but it just wasn't my thing. And because I chose a vegan diet, and that's what I like about working with this maestro who's Western. He's very indigenous and very strict as far as being traditional in a lot of ways, but he's also super flexible about the Western diet. For those of you like working with Purium or, you know, who have specialized diets, you'd be able to work there. You'd be able to do this there because they can do vegetarian. They can do with meat because fish is a traditional part of the diet. If that's the way you eat, or they can do vegan. I mean, they actually brought food that I was able to work with, and not the white rice and fish and all that stuff that I don't eat just binds me up and it doesn't help me clear. So I had for lunch every day. So breakfast was at 8 or 8:30, and they bring it to your tambo, and the lunch was at 12:30, and it was brown rice, lentils, and cooked carrots with no salt, no spices, nothing. But you know, by like the second or third day, they just taste amazing because that's all you're eating. And that's it. And then in the tambo, and they bring you hot water so you can have some Herba Luisa tea, which I think is lemongrass tea or something. It's nice. And that's it. And you know, you get water from the Maloka, and that's it. It's really, you're not supposed to be eating that much. And without the salt in your system, you find yourself detoxing from salt and can get really tired. Plus you're detoxing from sugar or whatever else you've been on, caffeine, whatever else people are clearing. But I thought the food was good. I mean, by the time it got there, since I didn't eat the breakfast, I was so hungry. It was even better. And then you have this dried yucca that they give you a container of it that you can make at night. It's called farinha, which everybody says is gross, but I really liked it. I thought it was really good, but I just didn't eat that much at night. I really didn't want to eat very much in the evenings. It's really staying by yourself in a tambo and being with your own energy and your own thoughts. When I first got there, and you all know I'm psychic, and I'm really going to start shifting how I work my psychic abilities, because I consciously keep myself pretty open so that students can link in and do things with me and whatever. And I'm realizing that makes for a very busy radio frequency going on for me. And I hadn't really just even, not that I link in with you all and hear you or feel you, but just even the willingness to let all these students, advanced students, 4-month training students, mentorship students, clients, just let all these people even call to me in the realms and ask me to help them. I didn't realize how busy that creates psychic energy for me. And then we're all linked in as one energy. So you're feeling all these people in the world, whether you realize it or not. Especially, I mean, I would guess 100% of the people in this group are empaths. So you're feeling all this stuff, whether you are conscious of it or not. I can honestly say when I got there and went down to the tambo, I had a couple days of just monkey mind. I knew that was going to happen. So I was like, oh, that's the monkey mind. Okay. There it is again. Whatever. Not a problem. My dreams were all kind of monkey mind. You're not supposed to think about sex. You're not supposed to think about like sweets and chocolate and things. And of course I was like, ooh, cacao, chocolate. Ooh, not thinking about that, you know? So I would find myself doing monkey mind and I knew it was okay. I knew it was clearing out. So that didn't stress me out at all. But it was so interesting to me that it is the most psychically quiet I have had my mind feel in, I don't even know how long, maybe my whole life. The energetic container in the plant dieta part of the jungle that they've created is so psychically quiet. It's so quiet. Like, I even tried to reach out and link in and could not. I was in the bubble. It was amazing. Just to have the opportunity to let your mind get that, I don't mean quiet like when you're in meditation. I just mean, oh, this is just me. There's nothing else coming through. That was worth everything right there. That was worth the whole trip right there. It was so quiet and I was finally able to like fully get, because I feel like I do a pretty good job of that, but to have somebody else hold the container and know, I couldn't feel y'all. I knew you were out there, but I was like, you're on the other side of the bubble. Bye-bye. You know, like I wasn't even trying to link in. It was great. And it was so refreshing. And that's the kind of container that can really let yourself percolate clearly. So that everything that was coming up, even if I was blubbering about it, I knew what was coming up. I was very clear on what was coming up because I didn't have all this psychic chatter. And I think that's another awesome thing of sitting with a maestro who used to be a professional psychic. He has chosen to turn the volume way down on that and not work like that anymore. And he's created an energetic bubble where you are clear. You're not having to deal with all that. And until you experience it, it's hard. I can't even tell you what it's like because we think we have it here, but getting away from the United States and getting away, there's kind of like this din of energy here, like D-I-N, this constant buzz. And it's a constant buzz of fear and anxiety because I feel it the minute I fly back, the minute I get out of South American energy or Central American energy and back into the energy here, I can feel it. It's this zzz of anxiety that we swim in, so we don't even know it's there. It's just huge to get away from that. So while I was chilling by myself, I was rattling and singing, and the spirits come. Chris tells you what to expect. Maestro tells you what to expect. And he said, expect the spirits to come and knock on your door, right? So the first night it was pretty chill. I was like, well, you know, I'm here. Hello, my name's Bloom. I introduced myself to the jungle. I did all the things because I wanted the spirits to know who I am. The second night, though, it sounded like it was on the wall of the tambo, but it was also in my head. It was a clear, like, knock. And I went, oh, hey, you're here. Okay, cool. It didn't scare me at all. I slept the best I've slept in decades in that tambo in the jungle. I can't even tell you how deeply I slept. and there were monkeys, these cute little monkeys with white around their eyes. And I was so excited that I went to the screen. I was looking, they're like, who are you? What are you doing here? We don't like this. And they couldn't decide what they wanted to do. And they kind of hung out for a while. And then they're like, there's a two-legged here. We got to go. And they told me some other things I would see there. The first thing I saw, though, was a blue morpho butterfly that was like that bigger. Well, it's probably more like that. I mean, it was humongous and so blue. If you've seen the azul, the blue, oh, stunning. And they were flying around all over the place. A couple different kinds of hummingbirds, picaflor. I saw one little baby snake. I really want to see like big old boa constrictors and stuff. I probably would have been a little freaked out if I'd come upon one of those, but I didn't. They don't hang close. They don't really want anything to do with this. But I saw a little baby snake right on the trail, on the walkway. And I went, and I thought it was a stick. I almost stepped over it, but then the stick flattened and I went, okay, I know I haven't eaten much, but I think that stick just moved. You know, I wasn't sure if I was tripping or a snake. It was so funny too, because the snake's head was about the size of my pinky nail, but you could see in its eyes, it was pissed. And I was like, ooh, you are, ooh, all right, okay. Like he was not happy. I was not gonna step over him. I was taking him very seriously. So I just walked away, and when I went back up, he had scurried along. But they had told me that there was an iguana there. I was like, oh, cool. And I'm thinking, you know, like this big or something. So I hear somebody walking through the jungle and there's nobody down there. There would be no reason for anybody walking through the jungle, but I could specifically hear crunches on leaves. So I look out the tambo. I mean, this was a freaking dragon. This was like a dinosaur walking through the jungle. Its tail was this long and then its body was that long again. I mean, it was bigger than I can put in my little thing here. It was big. It was like a freaking kimono dragon or something. And I just looked out and I swear it was like looking at a dinosaur. And I was like, oh man. And it went, oh man, who are you? You know? So it kind of stopped and I stopped. I've never seen anything like it in the wild. It was incredible. And I thought he had left. So I went to go use the bathroom in the tambo and stepped out onto my little porch of the tambo. Turns out he had not left, but when he saw me, I've never seen a lizard run so fast in my life. That thing can hustle. I mean, it huffed it out of there. Huge, probably like 4 feet long, 3 feet. Well, yeah, probably about 4 feet long. He was big. That was super cool. Parrots, parakeets. I got to see toucans. They were black toucans. How cool is that? I did see some eagles too. They were hanging out. I would go to the river every day and put my feet in the river. The river's not big enough to swim in, but you could sit in it or lie down in it, put your feet in it. Oh, so nice. And I saw these two eagles. And he said that we have eagles. And I'd seen a hawk a bunch of times, but I didn't expect the eagles to be right there at the river. So, yeah, lots of different kinds of butterflies and things. I thought I might be a little freaked out because I was the only one down there. But honestly, you have a little lock to your tambo, just a little slide lock. Nothing's coming in and nothing. I can honestly say that's the safest I felt in my adult life was in that jungle. And nobody else was down there but me. For those of you who are concerned about as far as like physical safety, they do have guards. They have a guardhouse and the guards have guns because it's Peru and that's how you have to do it. You just have to let, not that the neighbors are going to mess with you, but just in case anybody decides to come onto the land, they've never had to use it. It's really more just to let people know we have guards here. So you're super contained and protected and taken care of on the land. And you have a whistle and he said, here's a whistle if you have an emergency. And this was Maestro the first day. And then he goes, a spider is not an emergency. I was like, Got it. I won't be blowing the whistle when I see a spider. I only saw one little spider. I did see a cockroach about this big. And I was like, jungle cockroach. All right. I just watched her. Tons of little baby lizards. I had a whole thing with a lizard, y'all. It was so distressing. But I'm not going to get into that right now because I want you to have your shamanic journey. I'll tell you about the lizard some other time. But a lot of lessons learned. A lot of lessons learned. And even if you're down there with other people, you're not supposed to talk to anybody. So even when we go as a small group for people who are interested in going, which I really highly recommend. The work that we do is life-changing. And this is part of the life-changing work. And I can honestly say that this work that we do together, this consistent work is what prepared me to do that down there. And I had, even though it was, you know, I'm not gonna say it was easy, but I had so much more grace and ease than if I wasn't doing regular work like this. And that's going to amp up what we're doing together. And he said, you know, I was talking to him about integration, how key that is, and especially after ceremony. And he's in agreement that the work is in between the ceremonies. You know, all the, it's like it's between these mentorship sessions. It's between the plant medicine ceremonies. You have those mountaintop experiences to then support you in doing your work in between the mountaintop experiences. So I feel super grateful to have had all this time doing all this work to prepare me for it. Being in the jungle alone was super chill and cool and nice and relaxing. And you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to just relax. You can walk around a little bit, but you're not supposed to do anything too strenuous. You're supposed to let your body integrate the medicine and relax. And once you get all the salt out of your system, you don't have a whole lot of energy to do much, to be honest. It takes more out of you than you might realize. But I can honestly say time in the jungle goes so slow. Oh my gosh. So I would be like, oh, it's got to be at least, you know, 3 o'clock, and it would be 10 in the morning. I mean, it just crawls by. And that was part of the practice, because you actually have a clock in your tambo, which I think is a little weird, but you have to know when to go meet the maestro. And I guess it lets you know they're coming to bring your food. You better put some clothes on or something, you know, because they're the first morning I was tired and I got woken up by lady, hey lady, or señorita, you know. After that, I was awake before they got there, which was great. It completely shifted my sleeping schedule, which I love. I've been way too much of a night bird and not getting up early enough, and I've completely shifted that, which I absolutely love. So I'm trying to answer everybody's questions, because a bunch of people were asking me about it and want to tell you really my full experience. But the time can go pretty slow, and then you really, you know, once you're like, okay, I've journaled, okay, I've sung, okay, I've walked around, okay, I've visited the river, like, I would come up with little things to do, and then it's noon, you know. It's like, okay, like, and then, you know, after like 4 or 5 days of that, I'm like, I thought I would be like super chill, but there was one day that was super hard. I think it was the next to last day, and it went by so slowly. And I thought, I really want to be around people again. I miss people. I like people. Where are the people? You know? But I knew that was just part of the process. And then the last day I was like, oh, I just want to stay here forever. And then of course the day flew by. Just such a reminder of like how our mental experience creates our mental processes, create our experience. When I want to stay and I'm having a great time, then boom, it's over. One thing I would do differently, which I'm going to mention to anybody who's interested in doing this, the next time I go, I will not go to Cusco on the way back. I will come straight home for a couple reasons. One, Cusco is way too high elevation to be after a plant dieta where you've barely eaten for 10 days. What was I thinking? And secondly, it's really hard to stay on the post-diet restrictions when you have to go out to eat. So I was having a really hard time eating anywhere because you think stuff at restaurants is healthy, but they put all this stuff in it, even oils and all these things that I'm staying away from for 30 days. So for those of you who've been following along with my little game show called Plant Dieta, the 30-day post-diet is similar to on the diet. Obviously, you can eat as often as you want. It's different that way, and you have a little bit of salt, but I did not bring my journal. My stuff is still packed up, y'all. I don't even know where my journal is, but literally still in my bags in the living room. So that's how fresh I am off the plane. No oils, no sugar, no dairy, no meat, no sex for 30 days. I think that covers most of it. And no bread or pasta, things like that, or fruit for 2 weeks. So the fruit ended up in something I was eating in Cusco, and I did the best I could do. Ideally, you don't break the diet, and I had some blueberries were in something that I ordered, and the guy didn't speak English, I didn't speak enough Spanish, so you know, I had to kind of let some things go as far as that goes. But now that I'm home, I'm going to be I was strict in Cusco, but I'm going to be super strict with myself now that I'm home. One of the things I'm realizing is, well, the first thing I realized was I weighed myself today and I've lost like 10 pounds. And I just want to say heck to the yeah, because I'm psyched about that. You don't have to lose weight on the dieta. You can totally maintain your weight for those of you who don't need to lose weight. But for me, one of my intentions was to clear out sugar. Sugar has always been a real supportive, nourishing, nurturing, find the sweetness kind of energy for me. Because I had such an abusive childhood. I also had food used as a discipline tool when I was a toddler. So that really messed up a lot of my positive relationship with food and with sweets. When I was adopted, I had dark circles under my eyes because I was malnourished because I was mostly living off of sugar because I wouldn't eat my vegetables. So my grandmother would give me candy instead. So, you know, everybody's doing the best they can do, but that's what I was dealing with. So that's a big piece of what was clearing out of my root chakra and my second chakra, clearing a lot of this body trauma, was clearing this attachment and addiction to sugar and sweets, you know, just wanting to find the nectar and the sweetness in life. And obviously, I mean, I'm not obese, so obviously I was able to manage it to a certain extent, but it was still an addiction. It really was. So that was a big piece of what I took there to heal. And maintaining a new relationship with food. And it's cool because Chris and his wife are vegan. I'm pretty sure they're vegan. And he got me hooked up with this book, The McDougal Diet, which I'm super excited about because it's not really a diet. It's more of a lifestyle. And you can eat whatever you want, minus the things they tell you not to eat. You can eat as much as you want of all the stuff that's in there. And it's incredible. So anyway, I'm going to be doing The McDougal Diet. I'll let you know how that goes. But part of it, part of the losing weight is because a lot of that trauma cleared and I'm eating differently now. And so that was a huge piece to get today. I was like, because I felt I couldn't really tell if I had lost weight. I don't look any different, but I got home and a couple things fit differently. So I decided to weigh myself. I got medical massage today to follow up, doing my work after the ceremony, right? And I weighed myself at the gym when I got the medical massage, and I'm like, well, that's 10 pounds. Thank you, Jungle. You can have that. So the 30-day post diet is pretty strict. It's about as strict as the actual diet itself, because Maestro says that a plant dieta is actually a 5-week process. So for those of you who are trying to stick with it, I encourage you to stick with it through the morning, 7:30 on the morning of the 29th, if you can do that. It's helping me to be intentional. One of the things I really like about it is I went to the store today to get some food and I saw all the things that I would have gotten in the past. And I'm like, oh, I'm not getting those because I'm on this dieta. And what I realized is it's so much easier to do it because it's a spiritual practice for 30 days instead of a diet. I mean, they call it a dieta, but I'm not getting that chocolate because I'm on a diet. I'm not getting that chocolate because I'm still in a purification ceremony. And that made it so easy to walk by the chocolate because my work and my calling is way more important to me. So it's not about losing weight. That's a nice perk for me personally. But I just realized it's such a different mentality, different frame of reference to make my food decisions during this 30 days based on spiritual pursuit, spiritual reason, spiritual practice. And that feels really good. And you know, this is very much, it's a purification ceremony. It's a purification dieta. It's about purifying yourself, purifying your mind and your heart and your body, and straightening and aligning and clearing your energy with the tree medicine. So it's just got layers of things that it supports you with. And I'm super excited that I did it. I really, really like this Maestro. He's a kooky bird. Y'all know I'm a kooky bird. I love kooky birds. But he's super trained. He's very, very good at what he does. And I'm very picky because if I did not like him or if I even thought he was meh, I wouldn't be going back. And I intend to go 2 or 3 times a year. I'm really excited to, this is helping me level up. And I can honestly say that a lot of that anxiety that's been in my body that was just constantly there, even though I was fine and I'm okay, but that body trauma was still there. It's not there anymore. Like between the tree diet and then the ayahuasca ceremony, it really was able to clear things that I couldn't seem to get to without that added support. And that's, we need added support sometimes. It doesn't have to be a plant dieta, but you need to get added support somewhere sometimes. And so I'm really excited. I'm going to send photos. I did not have my phone with me, so I didn't take any photos while I was there. And I knew, I was like, oh, I wish I could be taking photos. But I knew my phone would be a distraction. You're not allowed to have your phone while you're there. So I just didn't even take it, which was really cool, too, to not even be able to take photos, like no distractions. So if you're going to do this for the next, you know, few weeks, if you want to keep linking in, don't overdo it. You know, just modify your situation. For those of you who let go of caffeine and sugar, keep it up through the 29th. Let's do this. Because you all, feeling you all, I wasn't going to leave. I really wasn't going to leave. But I did have that moment where I was getting cracked open, where I thought, I could just leave. Nobody's holding me here. But what really rose up to support, I honest to God thought, oh my gosh, all these students are LinkedIn and are like doing this energetically with me. I got to do this. You know, it really did. I would have stayed either way, but it was a huge support. So thank you all. Cause I could feel you and I could feel that you were like, you got this, you got to do it and tell us what happens. You know, you may not have been thinking that, but, you know, keep the sugar out of your system. If you're keeping the caffeine out, keep doing that, meat, whatever. You know, Facebook's not the devil. I know I say it is, and I call it face crack, but you know, if you have challenges with Facebook, then use it as an opportunity to make it a spiritual tool. That's what I'm doing. I'm mostly just posting through my phone so that I stay off of Facebook. It's when I get on my laptop that suddenly I see all the feed and the kitty videos and I can get distracted. So, you know, Facebook isn't the issue. It's us needing to purify and really get back in our center. So, you know, if you're staying off of social media more, do that. Whatever you're doing, keep it up, and but do what feels actually supportive. If it feels like you're doing something, you're forcing it or something, then you might want to recheck what your intentions are behind that and if that feels good to do. But I'm doing my dieta, continuing my post-dieta through the 29th, and then I will be continuing a lot of my dieta just as a lifestyle choice. But I will be able to allow in certain things. He did give me permission, you know, to do cacao ceremony and tobacco ceremony, because technically I shouldn't be putting any other medicine plants in my body during this 30 days. But he understands. He said, you're a medicine woman. I understand this is what you do, which was a huge compliment for him to call me a medicine woman, by the way. He just slipped it in there. But that was a huge compliment from someone of his caliber. I felt really honored that he even said that. So I'm able to do cacao and tobacco ceremonies, but the song circle, those of you know what I'm talking about, is not happening this month because I'm not allowed to connect with that plant or any other plants outside of tobacco and cacao. So my connection with cacao feels really good, feels really solid. And for those of you, even if you're not interested in connecting with cacao, a tree diet will support you regardless, because it's going to bring that strengthening. Cacao has such sweetness. She's so sweet and heart opening. So that was a long talk. I didn't mean to talk that long. And Aaron, I still want you to lead everybody on a journey, but that was the plant diet for everybody that was asking, and it was powerful and it feels life-changing. And I know that a huge amount of trauma has been cleared and cleansed and healed from my body. And I know that a lot of anxiety that was kind of the body was holding, and just that, I think you all know what I'm talking about when you're like, my life is good, but the body's still holding this stuff. And, but even if it's not just in your body, these dietas can absolutely rock your world. Absolutely. And I feel the same and completely different, if you know what I mean. So that feels really good. I feel a bit talked out because I'm feeling it in my throat right now. But Aaron, are you still there? There you are. Do you want to lead everybody on a little journey? And if y'all have questions, just post them in the Facebook group and I'll get back to you about that. But I'm going to post, the newsletter is going to share about the information. Oh, and by the way, if you want to come, I'm not charging for getting groups together. I'm not doing this like tours where you pay thousands of dollars so that somebody will... You pay your share, I'm going to pay for me. I just would like to take people down and do this together in small groups. So I'm not making any money off of you. I have no interest in making money off of this. That's not the point. And the other piece I want to add is that he costs about a quarter or a third of what these huge retreat centers charge. They charge up to $3,500. And the diet itself was $900. And each ayahuasca ceremony is $150. that is nothing. I mean, it's so affordable. And I talked to him about that, and he said that's a big piece of what he wants to do, is make it affordable for people who want to do medicine work. Plus, he understands Westerners have to get the time off. It's an 8-night, 9-day thing, so you need at least 12 days probably between traveling and everything, maybe 2 weeks. And he wants it to be affordable. He knows you're buying your tickets to Peru and all that. So I really appreciate that. I believe that he's worth much more than he charges. And I appreciate that he offers what he does. And it's just so tranquilo, tranquilo, tranquilo. It's so tranquil. So that's answering everybody's questions, I hope. Thank you for listening. Thanks for letting me share. It's really cool to read about what you all are doing. So keep it up. Keep sharing. Keep getting worked, because it's working. And I'm going to let Aaron lead a ceremony, since I can't really sing, or lead a ceremony. You know what I mean. You ready, Aaron? Mm-hmm. Lead a shamanic journey. And maybe just with the intention that you're going to just keep moving this plant medicine for everybody, okay? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks, honey. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Good. Okay. So everyone, just find a place wherever you're comfortable. If you feel like sitting up or laying down, whatever feels good to you right now. You've got enough time, maybe about 10-15 minutes here. So go ahead and close your eyes. And let's start with a deep breath into the belly. And just find your center. Take another deep breath in and just see if you can relax the body just a little bit more. It's taking in a lot of information. See if you can relax the belly and relax your lower body and your thighs. Just give yourself a moment to tune inward. And with your next breath in your sacred imagination, go ahead and find your portal door. When you walk through the portal door, find your space in the jungle in the Amazon. And notice what's around you. Notice the plants there, and notice the different animals there. Maybe the birds or the different tree medicine. Really take this opportunity to connect in with the spirits of this land and the Amazon here. And find the plant medicine that you're connecting with. Maybe that you've been working with on this journey in this dieta. And connecting in with the spirit of this plant. See the spirit of this plant in front of you. Whatever shape or form that this plant spirit takes. And ask this spirit of this plant medicine to take you on a journey right now. And then trust where the spirit of this plant is taking you.
Thank you.
Wherever you are on your journey, and bring this journey to a close, and thanking this plant spirit for guiding you, for holding you in this journey. Allowing yourself to be open to receiving any last messages or gifts. Allowing yourself to find your way back to your portal door. And bringing with you any of those gifts that you received on this journey. Making sure to close that portal door behind you. And taking a breath into your belly. Just gently, when you're ready, opening your eyes and thank you all for taking that last little journey there. I know we went over a little bit of time. If you would like to, you can go ahead and sign off. And otherwise, I'm going to unmute everyone and you can say goodnight if you'd like.
Night, Erin.
So, goodnight, everyone.
Erin.